56 mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever.
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:04 the time, hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios, where the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo is going on right now through May 10th. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. It's the Monday, April 20th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, J-Ham with you. Currently 56 degrees, but it's going to warm up to 79. Very pleasant with plenty of sunshine. Looks to be beautiful weather the next 2-3 days. In fact, we'll get into the low 80s tomorrow, and then back into the upper 70s Wednesday and the low 80s on Thursday before rain is in the forecast for Friday and throughout the weekend. Hopefully, Mother Nature screwed up, and she's wrong about that, because I got plans, Mother Nature. But anyway, that's where we stand right now. Looks like the next 3 or 4 days should be awfully nice. Hour two of the program brought to you by the great folks at James Gattis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. Your family's jeweler, open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4. They're closed on Sunday. And every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know Detroit Pistons center and former Memphis Tiger star Jalen Duren, who was an all-star this year, has been named one of three finalists for the NBA Most Improved Player Award. Okay, I was burned by a fake parody. We had a couple of people text in. Burned again. Nate Amendt, not in the portal, but he will be drafted. So Tennessee Vols fans, unfortunately, won't get him back for another year. But if he were to come back, it would be Tennessee. I'm thinking to myself, why would you leave when you're getting paid so much at Tennessee? It's because it was a parody account. If I could literally kill everybody who has a parody account, I would do it. I would have no problem doing it. No problem wiping those people off the face of the earth. Gosh darn it, man. I try to be so careful with those things.
You do have a problem recognizing them, apparently.
Well, they make them pretty clever sometimes. They really do. They make, you know, and I'm not reading every single letter or word in the thing. I just see the dude and I'm like, okay, why do that? Because they get a rise out of guys like me, I guess. But anyway, Nate Amendt staying. He's going to the NBA draft. Let's just put it that way. He's going to the NBA draft. James Gattis Jewelers, your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters. Been serving Memphians, Mid-Southerners for 60 years. Go see James and the gang today over at James Gattis Jewelers. Okay. Got a lot of NFL to talk about. We got more college basketball portal news, and we got the NBA we'll get to in a second. I did mention this in hour one. Of course, the spring football session, the first under Charles Huff's leadership at Memphis, wrapped up on Saturday. Unfortunately, indoors at the facilities, not in front of the fans over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium because of the impending weather, and I completely understand them. You got to make a call. You can't wait to the last second. And even though it wasn't as bad weather-wise as it was predicted, it still made a lot of sense not to keep that on, because people look at the forecast and they make decisions on that. So you don't want to have a practice session in front of 20 people because they didn't want to come over because of the weather. So they're going to make up for it. They're going to have something more than likely in August for the fans to be able to mingle with the players and get ready for the start of the 2026 season, which will start early for Memphis because they have a week zero game against UNLV. Now, Charles Huff did speak to the media afterwards, talked about a number of things, including the competition at quarterback, which, as I expected, said will continue into August. He says both these quarterbacks have done everything they wanted them to do. But he said it's going to be beyond just what they do on the field. It's going to be what they do in the classroom. It's going to be doing what they what happens during the summer months when there's no practice, getting together with your receivers, tossing the ball, getting over for workouts early. He's going to be gauging all of that before he makes a final decision on who will be the starting quarterback for that game against UNLV. And we're talking about, even though he did mention three quarterbacks, including the youngster Gardner, who he brought with him from Southern Miss, but he said it's a two-player race. It's Aaron Nolan and it's Marcus Stokes. And as I said before, I went to probably four or five practices, weren't able to stay there long, but from what I saw, to me, it looked like Stokes was probably playing a lot of times with what could be perceived as the number one guys, although competition continues. But it makes sense. You're not going to name a quarterback coming out of – I mean, Ryan Silverfield didn't even name Seth Hennigan his senior year coming out of – I mean, stop it already. But this one is a legitimate competition. And you want to have these guys playing their best football in August leading into the games. So you want to have that competition continuing to brew. And these two guys will probably grow close and play off each other and try to top each other. And I think that's only going to be good for this team.
Yeah, Charles Huff talked about the fact of, like, who now for the rest of the summer, like, who's that – what are they doing to show leadership, those types of things? Are they getting guys together to have throwing sessions, as he said, when the coaches aren't around, when we're out on the road recruiting and doing stuff like that?
Right.
Who's the guy showing that leadership? And so even though spring practice is done, there's still obviously plenty of things that can be done by these guys on their own, and that'll be play a part of who ends up winning that job.
NFL draft starts on Thursday. We'll talk about that as the week progresses a lot. NFL trades, there was one over the weekend. There's a big rumor, of course, about A.J. Brown. Adam Schefter, even this morning, reporting that he feels, unless there's a change in the wind, that there's going to be a deal after June 1st that will land A.J. Brown in New England with Mike Vrabel and company. But there was a trade that happened over the weekend with Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle extraordinaire, going from the New York Giants to the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Giants picking up the 10th overall pick in the draft. So they now have number 5 and number 10, and Cincinnati quickly signed Lawrence to a one-year $28 million extension. So that's certainly good news for Joe Burrow, as he wants to see what Cincinnati is doing to add pieces to their puzzle, which has been unfortunately missing pieces in recent years. So that's good news to get Lawrence. And for the Giants, John Harbaugh and Shane and company, they're going to have a lot of options in this draft.
Yeah, two top 10 picks certainly allows you to do a number of things. They obviously believe they have their quarterback, their franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart. Now you could kind of continue to put guys around him with those two picks. I was a little surprised to see Cincinnati give up the number 10 pick. Dexter Lawrence is a great player, but man, number 10 pick, that's a pretty darn good pick. And for a guy that you're going to have on a rookie deal for the next 5 years, that's, you don't often see teams wanting to give up that type of a pick.
No, not at all. Also over the weekend, Will Anderson becomes the highest paid non-quarterback in the league and the highest paid non-quarterback of all time. The all-pro defensive end out of Alabama gets a two-year, $150 million extension by the Texans.
He's a hell of a player. He is a great pass rusher, and teams really like guys who get to the quarterback, and they will pay them handsomely to do just that.
And that is a lot of money. $150 million for 2 years. Adam Schefter also reporting, aside from the A.J. Brown deal, that the Arizona Cardinals are definitely interested at Jeremiah Love with the number 3 pick. We've heard a lot of things about the Titans and Jeremiah Love and that love affair, no pun intended. We had on Friday Joe DeLeon. He's on with us every Friday. And he said that he doesn't think the Titans will take Jeremiah Love at number 4. But Jeremiah Love could be in the mix for Arizona at number 3. That's awfully high for a running back. So is number 4.
Yeah, I would imagine, if you're Arizona, obviously you could say, well, maybe try to trade back. But if they think the Titans are going to take him that 4, then you would miss out on him. I do wonder with the Giants getting that second top 10 pick, if they would be a team that might look at him as well with one of their picks. But it's the whole thing of how much value are you willing to put on a running back versus everybody talks about. I mean, most people believe he is one of the two or three best players in the draft if you take the position out of it, just what he is. But we know the teams don't want to put that much value on a running back.
Also, NFL wide receiver target Zachariah Branch out of Georgia, arrested in Athens Sunday on a couple of misdemeanor charges of obstruction of public streets, obstruction of a law officer, and prowling. What's going on with Georgia? At least it wasn't vehicular.
Yeah, he wasn't driving 150 mile an hour or something like that. They're venturing into new areas there in Georgia of getting in trouble.
Is the penal farm now in Athens, like on campus? I mean, it is crazy with these guys, but Branch is expected to go pretty high as far as receivers are concerned.
Yeah, that's not you don't want to generally get arrested the week before the draft.
No.
That's usually not a great look for teams, for you trying to audition for teams that, yes, the last weekend before the draft, you're arrested.
I think the only thing that tops that from a football realm would be getting arrested before the Super Bowl, which has happened too. But yeah, not good when you're looking to go as high as you can. Now you wonder, do some teams hold off if they're zeroing in on you, or do they look at it like, okay, it's wrong place, wrong time? But anytime you're obstructing law officers from doing their job, that's a no-no, and I would think that it may end up costing him a bit. He's still going to get drafted. He's still going to get drafted high, but it may cost him a bit. Okay, back to the NBA. Saturday's action, and as I said, and we talked about with the one big surprise was the Magic, the 8 seed, knocking off the 1 seed, the Pistons, in the East on Sunday, 112-101, which was the only road team to win out of the 8 games. Again, these are best of 7 series, long way to go. But on Saturday, we opened up with the Cavaliers knocking off the Raptors, 126-113. Pretty competitive early, and then Cleveland pulled away. Donovan Mitchell, 32. Max Strus! I got to say it like every time that way for some reason. All I think about is schnitzel and apple strudel. 24 points for Max Strus. He was a difference maker. When he got into that game, he started hitting shots and they pulled away.
Yeah, he's, getting that type of production off the bench. You know, Harden had a nice game. Obviously, we know Donovan Mitchell. He's pretty consistent. So getting another third scorer, that's big time for them. And, I think they should win that series easily. I just don't feel like Toronto's good enough to really make that a very competitive series, quite frankly.
Also on Saturday, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. This was a series we talked about, Jay Ham, on Friday. I think that this could be a really good series. Nuggets end up winning the game 116-105. In that game, Jokic had his typical triple-double. Jamal Murray set the tone with 30 points. Minnesota got 22 from Anthony Edwards, 7 of 19 from the field, all starters in double-figure scoring. But again, Denver pulling away with Jokic. Murray was 16 out of 16 from the free throw line. Is that good?
Well, they were 30 of 33 as a team. Really, it's kind of where they won that game. They made 16 more free throws, and when you're shooting it over 90%, that's big. But yeah, for a guy like Murray to go 16 of 16, pretty crazy. It's like Jokic only shot one free throw the entire game, but they make 30 of them, and that was really the difference.
Other games on Saturday, the Knicks over the Hawks, 113-102. We've talked about Carl Anthony Towns needing to step up. Brunson and Towns combining for 53 in that win.
And Cat was 10 for 10 at the free throw line also. So there were a lot of good free throw shooting performances around these first games.
Jay Ham, you said that Brunson really can't be the best guy for the Knicks to go far. He still had 28 points and 7 assists, but Towns with 25, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. You could say they were 1A and 1B.
1A and 1B, and I love what Carl – I was able to catch the second half of that, and I saw the energy that Carl was bringing on defense, and he really set that tone for them.
And Mitchell Robinson.
He is one of my favorites. That is like that dude puts the ski mask on and just go to work.
I can't believe he only ended up with 2 blocks because I saw both of them. I flipped it on. He had a block and then another block. I thought this guy's going to have like 8 blocks in this game.
Wherever there's a loose basketball, he's going to be somewhere around it, if not on it.
Exactly. And then you got some nice scoring off the bench in Jordan Clarkson, who's done it for years and years. And Miles McBride's pretty good as well. So good start for the Knicks doing it at home. And then you have the Lakers-Rockets game. So, no Doncic. Austin Reeves out for the year. We'll see about Doncic, whether or not he can come back. But no Kevin Durant. Rockets with KD, I think, have a great chance to go into L.A. and win the game. I still think they have a chance to win the game because here's the Lakers, again, having to rely on the old man, LeBron James. Well, they got 27 freaking points from Luke Kennard. And the Lakers were able to win the game over Houston 107-98. All I heard after that game was, here was your chance, Alper and Şengün, and you didn't lead your team.
There you go.
I couldn't this say is when it. He should have stepped up.
There you go. I can't say it any more better than what you just said. It that was on him.
So you got 27 from Kennard, Eli. He hit 5 of 5 from 3. And then the old man chipped in with 19 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 38 minutes played. Had to take a nap during the game. I mean, come on. LeBron's unbelievable. Well, it's unfreaking believable.
You mentioned Kennard and the other, well, there's 3 of them, but Marcus Smart, another former Grizzly,
right,
had himself a nice game with 15 points, he 8 did. Assists. It's funny with Luke Kennard because I know there's a lot of people around the Grizzlies who wish he would have just shot that much. He'd have been that willing to shoot when he played for the Grizzlies. Absolutely. Like, there was a problem. He wouldn't shoot it. Here, he goes 5 for 5 from 3. And it's like, why wouldn't you shoot like that when we had you here? But the thing is, like, that's, you mentioned, like, if DeAndre Ayton's going to do that, the Lakers are absolutely winning, going to win the series.
I agree.
Doubled, for him to get a double-double, extremely efficient, and do that against Şengün, then the Lakers will win that. They, even without Doncic and Reeves, they could absolutely win the series.
Same thing I was saying about in that Orlando and Detroit series, that with the big men, you can't have that situation where Şengün is counseled out or bettered by Ayton.
Absolutely.
That's a wrap.
Absolutely, yeah. Ayton was 19-11. But to your point, yeah, Smart, 15. You got Kennard, 27. Another former Grizzly, Jake LaRavia, had 6 points, 3 assists, a couple of rebounds, a steal, a block, chipped in. And then Grizzly killer, Rui Hachimura, added 14. So a Grizzly connection to that Lakers win over the Houston Rockets. We'll talk about Sunday's games. We've already discussed the Magic Pistons. We got 3 others to talk about, and then what's on tap for tonight when we return.
Folks, whether it's your home or business, you want to make sure your place is looking its best. And to do that, you need to make one simple phone call. That's to Roderick Hall and Hall Power Washing Solutions. 258-1399, 258-1399. That's the phone number. Talk to Roderick. You can also go on the website, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. Right there on the website, you can click to get a quote. You can check out examples of the great work that they do. From the exterior of your home to the roof to your driveway, sidewalks, decks, patios, fences, anything from home or business. You want to make sure that you get all that dirt and grime and nasty stuff that builds up over the winter months off of it. Well, give a simple call to Hall Power Washing Solutions. Again, 258-1399, 258-1399, or go online to Hall, that's H-A-L-L, HallPowerWashingSolutions.com.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Boston Marathon underway, 130th running of the Boston Marathon, the world's oldest annual marathon. Over 30,000 participants running in the Boston Marathon. And I wish on, you know, one of the gambling services, you could just go any Kenyan. Just bet that. What odds would you get? Any I'm waiting for a Kenyan to win here in like a matter of like an hour.
Be like minus 112 on that.
Probably minus 500. Because I guarantee you, Kenyan is winning. Probably the women as well, but definitely the men. The Boston Marathon. Man, one. You got it. Remember we had my daughter-in-law, Dory, live from the Boston Marathon, running in the Boston Marathon. We had her on the air a couple of years ago. She's up in Boston. She's not doing the marathon. I think she's doing, I don't know, a half marathon or 5K or something like one of the things associated with the Boston Marathon. But these people that run and run that far just amazes me. Absolutely. I'd run. I'd get a half a block and have shin splints.
That's
me. I get shin splints. Stop. I'm done. I'm the 26.2 miles, let alone those dudes that do like the double marathons and the Ironman and all that stuff. Man, those people are unbelievable. Okay, we go to Sunday's games in the NBA. Again, nothing was really close, but we did have the one shocker with the Magic beating the Pistons in game one in Detroit. Celtics over the Sixers. We were talking about this last week, Eli, when you were off Thursday, Friday, about how the Celtics have dominated the Sixers. I mean, they're on a nice little run. The Sixers have not beaten them since the early 80s.
It's going back to the Boston Strangler, Andrew Toney, with that one. Going way back.
Nice how you brought in the Boston Strangler with the Boston Marathon. 123-91. Jason Tatum, he's fully back, baby. Jason Tatum was terrific. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. And, of course, Philadelphia without Joel Embiid, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, this is a... It is a mismatch. I just look at Boston now, and I just don't. I mean, I don't know who beats them in the East. I really, they just with Tatum back and doing his thing. Like to me, they feel like they are the best team in the East.
What do you think Philadelphia does in the offseason, Jay Ham? I mean, can you get anything for Embiid the way he's been hurt the last couple of years?
I don't think you really can. I don't know how they will clear that off. Same with Paul George as well. They're going to get younger, you know, just in general, because that's what teams, you know, pretty much do. They have some good pieces there.
Oh, they do.
You know, it's like for who they're matched up with, they're completely overwhelmed and they don't really have the size right now.
Yeah, Maxey and Edgecombe are great in the backcourt.
Yeah.
But
Kelly Oubre brings great energy.
What does George and Embiid have left on their contracts? Do you know?
I'll find out.
Okay. I'm curious what they have. They're going to be stuck with them. The Thunder, guess what? The Thunder are good. This just in, breaking news. 119-84 over the Suns. You talk about a mismatch. 35-point rout by the Thunder. They are so good. They are so deep. Their second team can battle some of these other teams. There's no question about it. They got 25 from SGA, a ho-hum 29 minutes, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. I don't know what else to say about this team. Jalen Williams is healthy and he's back. That's Jalen with J-L-A-L-E-N, as opposed to J-A-Y-L-I-N. But Jalen Williams, the all-star, 22.7 rebounds, 6 assists. You just look at this bench. It's so deep. And then they also acquired Jarrett McCain from Philadelphia. So you got Jalen Williams, the other Jalen Williams, Alex Caruso, Kendrick Williams, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Cason Wallace, Jarrett McCain, A.J. Mitchell. Eli, how are they ever going to be stopped?
Well, again, they won this game with SGA going 5 for 18 from the field. And they won it easily.
Right, like, and missed all his threes.
He gets to the free throw line. A Todd Wade know about him and the free throw line. That's always going to happen. And he goes 15 of 17 there. But again, the thing with Oklahoma City is to remember is you got Thomas Sorber, last year's number one pick, not playing. Nikola Topic, who
played a couple
is
minutes.
Playing but not really a part of it. And who knows what that will be. But obviously he missed all of last year, missed the start of this year. They've got the Clippers pick. So basically, they will be adding if they want to, and they've got their own pick. Do they have a third first rounder this year too? They might even have a third first rounder. I don't even know. But like, they're going to add like 3 or 4 first round picks to the roster for next year. the guys they've already drafted who aren't playing, and what they've got for this year.
Well, they're going to have to make some room, so what are they going to do? They don't have room to bring in those guys, all those guys. I don't know what they have as far as contract situations, like guys' contracts running out and all that. Let me see if they have a – yeah. I'm trying to find the draft order to see if they have a third.
I think – I can't remember if they have the third. I know they had a couple that were protected things. Like they, like Utah's they're not going to get, which they could have. But I don't know if they actually did get a third of any of these.
I'm seeing that they have a third first rounder.
What? Where? Whose is it? Do you know?
Well, they got one from Utah, one from Philly, and then they're on.
They got Philly's. Okay.
Yeah. They got Philly in the McCain trade, right? Was that the McCain trade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
And that one from Philly is protected 1-4.
Wait, what did they give up? What did they give up? No, they couldn't have. They didn't get a pick with McCain. Oklahoma City got McCain. They had to give up a pick, didn't they? I mean, don't tell me they got a pick and McCain for something. I don't even know what they traded. It had to have been a pick, right? Did they trade that pick away?
Sure. Let me see what we got here.
Yeah, okay. Because, I mean, no players were traded, were they?
Okay, it was Jared McCain to the Oklahoma City Thunder for a Houston Rockets first-round pick and 3 second-round picks.
So what, Rockets owed them a pick? He went to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. So Oklahoma City had the Rockets first-round pick and 3 second-rounders. Was this year? Is it 2026? The Rockets pick? Yeah, so they traded away one of their first rounds to get McCain.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so they have two then, right?
It's good value still. Yeah.
If you told me they still have three and made a trade.
They don't have their own pick this year. They have Philadelphia's and the Clippers.
Okay.
They're not going to get the Utah one because that was protected 1-8. And it would have to – it'd be a miracle if Utah somehow doesn't – it would fall all that far. So they're going to end up with the two first-rounders between the Clippers, which is, again, in the lottery. We know that. And then the Philadelphia, which is going to be middle of the first round.
Yeah, but think about that. You get two first-round picks now, and really bringing in McCain is like bringing in a third first-rounder, the way he has been before he got hurt. I think he got hurt a little bit last year. But, yeah, the rich get richer, as they say. In the meantime, what is Phoenix going to do? I mean, are they going to look to try to blow it up and maybe put Devin on the trade block?
I wouldn't do that. That's the one guy that wants to be there.
Yeah.
He produces.
So build around him.
Yeah, continue to build around
him. Do you look to trade Dylan?
I don't have to. I don't think you – you know what? That's a good – this
Dylan, one, Devin, and Jalen Green isn't – they're not winning an NBA title. I don't think.
I agree with that, especially – well, I mean, Jalen Green will be productive, but he's not going to be in that winning role to where you're going to rely on him to be winning in a contending spot.
So what did you make? And again, who knows? Maybe it was a fake video I saw. But what did you? Was it a real thing with Ja Morant at the Suns game?
I saw that, but I didn't look deeper into it.
Like in a suite?
Yeah, in a suite. I saw that.
People were making a big deal about it. I'm thinking he's probably there to see Dylan.
He's playing basketball. He likes watching.
Yeah, and he's probably and he's buddies with Dylan, I'm sure.
Right.
But then people kept bringing that up, and they're like, they came up with something where Jalen Green would end up in Memphis in a Ja Morant trade.
The magic of social media, I tell you.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of stuff out there. But as far as we're talking about the was it Kevin O'Connell? Who had the story? Did you read it, Eli, even though you were on the golf trip, about the Ja Morant stuff on Friday?
That was McMahon, wasn't it? Tim McMahon.
Was it Tim McMahon?
Yeah.
Okay, Tim McMahon. And they talked about how there are going to be teams out there that are desperate. I don't think anybody will overpay, but maybe they'll get street value. And if it's street value, what are we talking about? And what teams are we talking about? The teams that kept surfacing were Sacramento and Phoenix, which you would hate to see Ja go somewhere in the West because you know he's going to come back and haunt him. I mean, that's going to absolutely happen. He's going to go back and score 40 the first time he plays against him. But if there's nobody in the East that's interested, and we don't know if there is or not, but you got to make it. You're going to make a trade.
Something's going to happen.
You just hate to trade him to a team in the West?
Well, the East, I mean, the team, in, or probably two, would be if Milwaukee decides to keep Giannis, would they want to maybe put Ja next to him, which has been talked about a lot, and they would, you know, they wouldn't put Ryan Rollins in a trade, all that stuff. Miami is always seemingly interested in any big name type trade type thing. So
right.
If, you know, but a lot of those, like, their teams are going to wait on the Giannis situation. If they trade Giannis, well, then it's who misses out on Giannis. Then they can shift maybe and look at Ja. Or if Milwaukee keeps Giannis, they become a possible trade partner as well in order to try and put something around Giannis. So, but the, you know, the Kings are always, they're just a mess. And I guarantee you, if they really want to make, if they want to make Ja mad, trade him to Sacramento.
Make anybody to play center him to Sacramento.
He will, I guarantee you, he would not be happy to be going to Sacramento.
The final game that we've yet to talk about was game one of the Spurs-Blazers series. And this went as everybody thought it would. Spurs winning this one going away by 13. Victor Wembanyama, ho-hum, 35 points in 33 minutes. Portland got 30 from Deni Avdija. How do you pronounce that?
Avdija.
30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was terrific, as he usually is, but just too much Wemby.
Too much Wemby, and that team is dialed in right now. They're playing very good basketball. They're sharing the basketball, locked in defensively. They're just doing the basic basketball stuff.
I mean, you look at the bench for the Spurs and what they have done in the draft and a couple of free agent pickups. Harrison Barnes, the veteran. Keldon Johnson, who could be sixth man of the year. Luke Kornet. Dylan Harper, young guy they got in the draft. Kelly Olynyk. And then with the starters, with Castle and Fox and the rest of them, with Wembanyama. That quickly came together, didn't it? Like in a 2-3 year period, that came together.
You had in Barnes, Kornet, and Olynyk, guys that have been in NBA finals, if not won NBA championships, and being a part of it. You put that with their young group that's hungry like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Great mix.
That's a good point. I mean, you bring an experience, but you bring an experience that has won.
Winning experience.
And you have the cheat code.
The ultimate cheat code.
He's a 7-footer. He went 5-for-6 from 3-point. How in the hell are you supposed to guard that? Like, if that dude's, first of all, he obviously can shoot over anybody. I mean, he's 7 foot, so he can shoot that anytime he wants. If he's going 5-for-6 from 3-point range, I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do against him.
5-for-6 from 3-point range, and then he can break you down off the bounce from the perimeter and go to the hole on just one step.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked about this before. Back in the day, a guy named Manute Bol, who could sit back there behind the line, nobody defends him, and actually hit a three, right? That was the first time you're like, wow, look at that guy. He couldn't move. This dude plays like a point guard at 7'4". His moves around the rim, he's so agile. And then, of course, he could block your shot into the eighth row, dunk on anybody, leaving from the free throw line a la Julius Dr. J. Irving, and then stick a three-pointer in your face. We've never seen anything like this complete at that size.
Brett Norsworthy told me to make sure I always mention this way. He is what we wished Ralph Sampson would have been.
Right, exactly. You
know? Tonight is they will be announcing the Defensive Player of the Year, which will be the worst kept secret. if he doesn't win that, it would be one of the greatest upsets of all time. You know, who knows how many in a row he might win. I mean, this could be the next 10 years. Like, unless he doesn't play enough games, I don't know how he's not the Defensive Player of the Year every year.
He was a finalist with, was it Chet Holmgren? Who was the third one?
It's him, Holmgren, and Asar Thompson.
You see, I really wish that they would have gave Scotty Barnes some love because he was awesome this year on the defensive end.
The MVP finalists are the three we expected, SGA, Jokic, and Wembanyama. Again, if this was players voting, slam dunk for me that the players would vote SGA because they had that straw poll already. But with the media sometimes can get bored, even though SGA's only on one. But they can get bored real easily, and they see the shiny new object, and Wemby. I would not be surprised if Wemby got the MVP as well.
Shiny new story.
Right, yeah. Right. So they're like, any other of the award finalists surprise you at all? We talked about Jalen Duren on my Memphis Sports Fact that he is a finalist for the...
It's the most improved.
Most improved, yeah.
That'll probably be him and Nick Alexander for that coming down for that one.
Yeah, you like him a lot. You were talking about him on Friday.
He had nine points last year. He's up to 20 this
Although,
year.
Although, I mean, obvious, like...
Of course, and we can't leave out Denny.
The play-in game is awesome. He's awesome in yesterday, even though they lost. Like, that dude, like, he's...
All-star this year.
You know, the coaching one is just there's too many. Like, they only can have three.
Who'd they have? I didn't see who the finalists were.
It's J.B., Mitch Johnson, and Joe Mazzulla. So, like...
Yeah.
I mean, get Charlotte. We talk about Charlotte, like, the type of year that, like, turn on anything else, but there's not enough room for everybody. Like, there's a lot of guys who could win Coach of the Year for what they've done this year.
Well, yeah, there are probably 6-7 guys that can win. Mazzulla, it's like unbelievable what he did with Boston, but, you know, thank you Jason Tatum coming back, but they were obviously doing well even to make it worthwhile when he came back. Now they're looking at like the best team in the East. But Detroit, where they were just a couple years ago, bad they were. We were talking about maybe a record amount of losses.
They tripled their win total from last year from the year prior.
Plus, they finished ahead of Boston. They won the East. Yep. I got it. To me, J.B. Bickerstaff. Some people around here are like, J.B. should still be the coach of the Grizzlies.
I think the coach's award. He got the coach's award from them. So I think this was the media style. He probably will lead the charge on that one, too.
Tonight, 3 games on tap. Raptors at the Cavaliers. Cleveland an 8.5-point favorite to go up 2-0. Hawks and the Knicks at the Garden. Knicks 5.5-point favorite to go up 2-0. And then the Nuggets a 6.5-point favorite over Minnesota as they look to go up 2-0. Any upsets of those three tonight? You see any of the series evening out?
We probably can get an even win, if anything, with Minnesota and Denver. But I think everything else, if KD's not playing, that's going to be 2-0 Lakers.
Yeah.
Anything, Eli?
The Hawks have been a good story. They've all that, but I don't think they're good enough to.
How about Toronto and Cleveland?
No, I think that series is a mismatch. Like, but the Nuggets Timberwolves, like, obviously, I think that's the best matchup in the first round. Mm-hmm. And certainly Anthony Edwards is capable of doing some things. So I that's the one that I'm most excited to watch.
Me too.
This over series, everything is that. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Me too. Hey, everybody, ready to see the USA in a new all-star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it all right in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, Suburban with that third row seating. New Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. Financing as low as 1.9%. Go big with the new HD Silverado. Make no payments for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. Military and first responders, you always get an extra $500 bonus. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and your business today. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes, they're right there for you. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, you bring it to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. I'll take vacation if I have that choice. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Sparkling.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Adam Schefter of ESPN has been very busy this morning. He reports that the 49ers and 12-time Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams have reached agreement today on a 2-year, $50 million extension. So he's contractually tied to the 49ers through the 2027 season. I remember all the hoopla and issues last offseason with Trent Williams, but they got Trent in the fold now for the next couple of seasons. Some other news from the world of sports. Baseball. We're going to talk college baseball with Matt Reiser to open up Hour 3. He'll join us in studio. The Tigers coming off a big three-game sweep on the road at Rice down in Houston. Ole Miss winning 2 out of 3 against Tennessee. Now, the Vols did come back to win the series finale on Sunday, 13-5. They banged out 6 home runs, but Ole Miss wins the series. Are you keeping an eye on what's going on in the SEC? I know Texas A&M have been strong.
I have not checked the standings recently at all to see exactly where things stand. I'll go on a limb and say that the SEC will be really good again in the College World Series. We'll be well represented.
Oh, there's no question about it. Let's see if I get a quick little look at the standings. In conference, it's Georgia at 13-5, Texas A&M, as I mentioned, 12-5, and Texas 11-6. Then Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Auburn, Oklahoma, Florida, all 10-8. Memphis, by the way, will play at Mississippi State this week in a non-conference game. Alabama, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, all 9-9. Arkansas, there was a game over the weekend in their series. I think they gave up like 25 runs, 25, 26 runs, something like that. Kentucky and Tennessee are 8-10. LSU, very disappointing, 6-12. South Carolina, 5-13. And Missouri, once again, at the bottom, 3-15. At least they won a few SEC games. They didn't win any last year, did they not? Wasn't that the deal? Did they go winless?
I think they ended up winning.
Oh, did they?
I don't remember how many, but I think they won some.
That's Kerrick Jackson.
They don't win many.
That's Kerrick Jackson, the former Memphis skipper, now in year number 2 as the Missouri head coach. On the on the golf front, boy, oh boy, what an ending at the RBC Heritage. 1 week after the Masters, you had Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's had a great year, in control, and then he bogeys 18. Scottie Scheffler, boy, if Scottie Scheffler is already the best in the world, but he's gotten off to slow starts in a bunch of tournaments, including the Masters, and then he just makes the run over the weekend and gets right there. He had a chance, but give Fitzpatrick credit. They go to the playoff, first playoff hole that, what was it, a 4-iron he hit? Drilled it to within how many feet?
I don't know exactly how far it was, but it was a hell of a shot after hitting the really bad chip shot on 18 the first time that caused them to make the bogey and give Scheffler the chance to tie after Scheffler had the great chip shot right before it on 18. But that playoff, the shot of the playoff was special.
Made the putt, won the tournament. On the Champions Tour, they played the Senior PGA, and Stuart Sink sets a record by shooting a 63 on Sunday, course record, winning in that event, the Senior PGA. Also, how about Max Homa playing in the RBC Heritage? Last week, remember, Jay Ham, we were talking about Max Homa. He was criticizing golfers and their outbursts and specifically talking about Sergio and what he did at the Masters. And then yesterday, he throws his club in frustration. He does exactly what he said golfers should not do. Nothing worse than a hypocrite. Criticizing the golfers and then going out there and they have him on video, getting mad, slamming the club, and then chucking it.
Again, golf will make you mad.
Yes, so don't say anything about the other golfers.
You're right. That's why I would never be critical of him. Like it is a sport that can make you very angry.
It's a spur of the moment thing. Like you're out of your mind right there for just a second, and you don't think about your actions until, oh man, once he threw it, I guarantee he's like, oh man, he probably knew it too. Like, oh darn it, didn't I just go on a podcast and talk about all these golfers? Not a good move.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. Also, man, Michael Jordan. Everything he touches turns to gold. Michael Jordan.
Again, Charlotte Hornets would argue that.
Okay, you're right. Not almost everything he touches turns to gold.
The Wizards also like that word.
That's true too. They're online.
Well,
too.
Come on. He didn't have Scottie Pippen with him in Washington. Even at his age, they probably could have won if he had some players with him. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, he is an owner in NASCAR, as some people know. And his company, him and Denny Hamlin, are just kicking tail. He sued NASCAR. People may recall this was a big story in the offseason, and won, beat NASCAR. And so he comes back, and now he's adding wins to insult, I guess, as Tyler Reddick, one of his drivers, wins his fifth race of the year already. We're in April. The dude's won five races, including the Daytona 500 for Michael Jordan. He is unbelievable. He won yesterday in Kansas on the NASCAR Cup circuit. So good for him. Good for MJ. MJ needs the money, I think.
Yes, that's for sure. He's smart enough here as an owner to stay out of the way and let the other people do it. When he was with the Hornets, he wasn't as good as staying out of the way.
Right. He's also a accomplished. Marlin. He's a Marlin fisherman. He goes out there in those competitions, out there on his beautiful luxury yacht, and gets into the competition. I don't know if he's won, but I know he's involved in that because a lot of the competitions, they leave from old stomping grounds, Ocean City, Maryland. I worked about an hour away from there in TV. So when I was working there, he was still playing basketball. But later in years, here more recently, you'll see in the summer, he'll be in this fishing competition. I think it's Marlins that they go for. I think it's the Blue Marlin or the White Marlin? I can't remember, but Ocean City is where they leave from a lot of times in this competition. But I think he's done pretty well as far as that's concerned.
Maybe he should buy the Marlins.
Okay, there's something.
Solve his problem.
He got the money for it.
Then he has all the Marlins.
He's captured
all the Marlins.
No, you don't have to go fishing for them if you own them. You own them all. East Coast Wings and Grill. That's the place to go to enjoy some great food, great drinks, watch action like Major League Baseball. Of course, the NBA playoff action was up there for a bit yesterday, watching some of the NBA playoffs and the Cubs game as well. And you can do that over at East Coast Wings and Grill in Bartlett, just off Highway 64, right between the Lowe's and Walmart on Mondays. It's 85-cent wings. You can take advantage of that deal all day long. And they've got 60 different flavors of wings to choose from, 7 different heat indexes. So there is something for everybody on that wing menu. But beyond the wings, a lot of other great things on that menu as well at East Coast Wings and Grill. Go check them out again in Bartlett, just off Highway 64, right between the Lowe's and Walmart there in the Wolf Chase area. East Coast Wings and Grill.
Matt Reiser joins us next to open up hour number 3. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.